This is Sound Effect. I'm Jennifer Wing, and today our show is Island Time. And our next story is about a man trying to escape an island in South Puget Sound, McNeil Island. This is where the Special Commitment Center for Sexually Violent Predators is located. It's been housing this population since 1990. And this story, it deals with some difficult material, so if you don't wish to hear it, or if you have kids around, now would be a good time to take a break and rejoin the show in about 10 minutes. So there are about 250 permanent residents at the Special Commitment Center. That's what they're called, residents. And there are only a few ways you can leave. You can die, you can be deemed to have successfully completed treatment, or you can challenge your commitment with a trial. This is what a man called Chris did. He went for the trial. And we're not using his last name to protect the identity of his family members, who are also his victims. Chris's fight to get off the island and back into regular society was chronicled by the podcast Here Be Monsters, which is based in Seattle. Jeff Emptman is the producer and host, and Bethany Denton is the managing editor. We talked with Jeff and Bethany about Chris's journey, and all of the audio in the interview you're about to hear comes from their original story. We start with Chris and how he ended up on McNeil.
Chris is someone who's been in the system for a very long time. Beth, how old was he roughly when we talked to him?
He was in his mid to late 30s.
Mid to late 30s. And he had been involved with the system ever since he was 16, which is when he was initially caught with a neighborhood boy a couple of years younger than him in a form of sexual contact. He was convicted of that sexual crime. And in that trial, it came out that he had also committed hundreds of other sexual offenses against mostly his family members. He wound up serving 2 years in juvie for this. And when he was released at 18, he went to a hospital here in Seattle for a psych evaluation, at which time he reported some very deviant fantasies to some staff there. And at that time, he was given the status as a sexually violent predator, an SVP. And at that point, he became a resident of McNeil Island at the Special Commitment Center for 18 years.
Why does Chris say that he was having these deviant thoughts?
Chris had a lot of mental problems growing up. Some of the conditions that he'd been diagnosed with were ADD, ADHD, bipolar disorder, Tourette syndrome, and that's just some of the list. And so for these conditions, he was given kind of a lot of different medications over the course of his childhood and early adulthood, including lithium, Luvox, clonidine, anafrenil. And so as Chris told it to us, he said that living on these medications as a teenager made him feel perpetually drunk.
Probably the biggest factor in me changing was my getting off of those drugs. It allowed me to get a lot of really, really weird, crazy, and scary thoughts and fantasies out of my head.
And he said that essentially, you know, after these fantasies abated, he was stuck on an island where people were telling him that he was something he wasn't. And that's why he wanted to have a trial, though it took 18 years to get there.
18 years.
Yeah.
At the time of the release of this episode a year ago, there had been just over 50 residents that had been released from the SEC in its entire history. So the release rate of these residents is relatively low.
And again, this Special Commitment Center on McNeil Island, it's been operating since 1990. And Chris knew that his chances of getting off the island were unlikely. And one way to get released is to ask for a trial that challenges his civil commitment. And this is what he did. And the burden wasn't on Chris to prove that he was free of sexually violent thoughts. The burden in cases like this, it falls on the state.
The state must prove beyond a reasonable doubt that if Chris were to be released, unconditionally released from the SEC, that he would be more likely than not to reoffend. So it was the state that had to lay out a convincing case against Chris, and Chris and his attorneys, their job was really just to prove that the state could not establish beyond a reasonable doubt that he would more likely than not reoffend. There was a jury selection. there were expert witnesses shipped in.
And some of these special witnesses were doctors.
Yes.
Correct? Mm-hmm. And what did they say when they were asked if Chris was likely to reoffend?
You know, the doctors that were called by the people saying that Chris was an SVP said that Chris would be likely to reoffend.
Doctor, you said you reached an opinion. What is that opinion?
That he is more likely than not to commit acts of sexual violence as a result of his mental abnormality, if not confined to a secure facility.
And the doctors that were called by the people saying that he wouldn't be an SVP said that he probably wouldn't reoffend.
Is he still that same confused, angry kid that he was back then, now, in 2016? And my answer is, no, he isn't. And he hasn't been for quite some time.
And this was the testimony. This was kind of the expert testimony that took place over the course of several days.
Did Chris eventually take the stand?
He did.
Fantasies like that are almost anathema to me these days. It's so completely repulsive that I wouldn't even be able to conceive of it these days. However, I can understand, you know, people being scared or concerned because, you know, it is something that was, you know, so outrageous that, you know, I was having back in the day.
Since the stakes were so high for on the part of the state, beyond a reasonable doubt, what did the prosecution say about Chris? What they must have just gone all out.
They certainly did.
First time, Mr. was 9 years old, 6 years older than his three-year-old sister the first time. The first time that he took her out to the shed in the backyard where no one could know what was happening, no one could see what was happening, and no one could hear what was happening. But to be sure, he barricaded the shed door.
Again, what did the jury have to decide and again explain what was at stake?
The jury had to decide whether the state had made a convincing argument that Chris was still an SVP.
They only deliberated for a day.
Madam Clerk, please read the verdict in the record.
We, the jury, answer the question submitted by the court as follows. Has the state proved beyond a reasonable doubt that Christopher used to be a sexually violent predator? Answer, no. Signed by the presiding juror of the state.
And what happened after the verdict was handed down and it was announced that the jury decided in his favor? What happened?
He actually got an nearly immediate unconditional release. So within 48 hours, he was leaving the island.
You talked to the prosecutor after the decision was handed down. What did she have to say?
She was very concerned that Chris had dropped out of treatment.
That he dropped out of treatment when he was on McNeil Island.
That was one of the main points that they used to strengthen their argument that Chris should still be considered an SVP.
And again, to remind our listeners, an SVP is a sexually violent predator.
One kind of striking quote from the interview that we did with her was her talking about how she really hopes never to see him again. Because if she sees him again, that means that something went wrong. You know, this idea that being out, being in society, he'll be faced with his old triggers. She painted it in a way where it sounded like kind of something at the top of a hill that just needs a nudge.
What made the two of you want to sit with such a heavy topic?
It's endlessly complicated. How does a jury decide whether or not a state knows what the future of a person holds? How does science try to understand the future of a person? I think anytime you see a group labeled as angelic or demonic, that's a place to start looking for nuance, because it's always there. I think it's always there. I think Chris is an intensely nuanced person, but it is just incredibly easy to say, you're a sex offender, go live on that island.
What about the whole concept of the special commitment center? Do you think that facilities like that are necessary in our society?
I think that it kind of comes down to what scares you more, the idea that someone like Chris lives among us, or the idea that we live in a society that warehouses and locks away people like Chris.
Forever.
Forever, potentially. And I don't know the answer to that.
Jeff Emptman and Bethany Denton, thank you so much for joining us here on Sound Effect.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.